This is also the period of occupation of Babylon that survives best in the archaeological records. So when German archaeologists who excavated Babylon in the early 20th century dug down, this was the level that they found best preserved. The city of Babylon was planned to survive an attack and also to amaze and astound any visitors who came to the many festivals and rituals for which it was known. It's estimated that about 15 million baked bricks were used in this phase of the city's history. The bricks were inscribed with Nebuchadnezzar's name, each one of them, and he included in his inscription the phrase, "I am Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who cares for Esagila and Azita, son of Nabopolassar." Azita was the temple of the god of writing in the city of Borsippa, which was also in southern Mesopotamia. And you remember that the Esagila was the main temple to the god Marduk, the patron deity of Babylon. One of the most impressive features of the city can be found in the defensive walls that surrounded Babylon. There are two sets of walls, an outer and inner wall, and the outer wall alone was composed of three separate walls. The inner of these three walls was over 20 feet thick and was made of mud brick, the traditional building material of Mesopotamia. A second wall of baked bricks, and these are the ones that are inscribed with Nebuchadnezzar's name, was centered between the exterior wall that was further strengthened by a wide moat. An inscription by Nebuchadnezzar explains that, in order to strengthen the defense of Esagila, that the evil and wicked might not oppress Babylon, that which no king had done before me, to the east I put about a great wall, about the sides of Babylon, great banks of earth I heaped up. With marsh, and this would be the moat, I surrounded it. Nebuchadnezzar installed grates where the Euphrates River ran through the city, and this would prevent enemies from entering any part of Babylon. When the space between the three outer walls was filled, it served as a road, and later authors claimed that it was wide enough that a four-horse chariot could turn around on it with ease. The 11-mile-long outer defensive wall surrounding the city greatly increased the city limits, and it's estimated that the urban population was about 100,000, but that Babylon could protect even more within its walls if the city and the region came under attack. As you can imagine, after the sack of Babylon, there would be much more interest and focus on defending the city against invaders, an idea which probably had not occurred to them earlier, given the long period in which Babylon had been respected. The inner city of Babylon contained the Esagila and other temples. At the center was an enormous ziggurat called Etamenanki, the house of the foundation between heaven and earth. Sennacherib had damaged the ziggurat during his attack on Babylon in 689, and Nebuchadnezzar restored this most visible monument in the city. Today, the ziggurat is not very well preserved, but the foundations have been uncovered, and they show that the ziggurat really would have been visible from miles outside of the city. The foundations were approximately 300 square feet. There's some debate among the ancient authors about how many stories the ziggurat was. The number 7 comes up a lot, but that's a suspicious number in antiquity because often sacred buildings incorporate some aspect of the number 7. Next to the ziggurat was the refurbished Esagila, and this temple has not been completely excavated to date. The description of the temple by the 5th century Greek historian Herodotus wrote that it housed a statue of Marduk that required tons of gold to make it. Make it and both the statue, its base, and a throne and table placed next to the statue. So all of this was considered part of the sacred cult statue that Herodotus describes.